there's a new book on Africa. It came out in the States last month, and it's coming out in the UK in July. The Trouble with Africa is an inside look at international development and how it has failed Africa. It aims to suggest concrete ways in which Africa and the world at large can liberate talent and enterprise on the continent. And it's written by an insider, Robert Calderisi, a former senior figure at the World Bank, and he's on the line with me now. Robert, how in your view has international development failed Africa?
Well, I think mainly by helping the wrong people and doing the wrong things. It's taken about 40 years to experiment with almost everything possible, and I think the end result is very little good for Africans and not very much consolation for Westerners who felt they were doing the right thing.
So are you against development aid?
Well, I haven't given up on aid. I think that that would be like giving up a search for the cure to cancer, but I really do think that aid has to be done very, very differently. And I make some suggestions in the book about how to do it better. First of all, I think that there's more than enough aid in the world. I would oppose suggestions that aid should be increased or doubled, as the Blair Commission report suggested last year. Secondly, I would put at least half the money currently being sent to Africa into programs which would help many countries at once, like agricultural research or disease control. And the other half, I would focus on a very small number of countries that I think have shown over 20 years that they mean business when it comes to reducing poverty. I think those five countries are Uganda, Tanzania, Mozambique, Ghana, and Mali.
So you would be quite a fan of the Millennium Challenge account that President Bush has introduced?
I think the principles are fine. I'm a little worried about how precise an instrument it is. It looks like fine tuning rather than a fairly broad effort to choose the right countries. And I'm a little, like others, I was a little surprised that Madagascar would be the first country that passed the post. But I suppose it's worth experimenting with.
Do you think that conditionality is a good idea?
I think the only condition that matters is that we're certain we're helping governments that share our values, and we shouldn't delude ourselves that any amount of other conditionality can force governments to do things that they really don't believe in. I think that's the main lesson of 40 years of aid, is that aid only helps governments that are already on the right track and doing things for their own reasons and for the benefit of their peoples, rather than to impress foreigners.
Would you agree with the argument that Jagdish Bhagwati puts in his book In Defense of Globalization, which is that IMF conditionality is all very well, but actually it's quite a weak instrument? Countries will either do what they agree to do or not, depending on their own interests, rather than whether they're sort of being forced to by the international community.
I agree absolutely with that. And unfortunately, Africa has been in need of IMF and World Bank assistance almost continuously for the last 20 years, and obviously it hasn't done much good.
Christian Aid has recently been proposing that Africa should boycott the IMF in the hope that it would create something different to replace it. Do you think that on the whole, organizations like the IMF are forces for good, or do they cause more trouble than they're worth?
Well, I think the IMF's role is fairly clear. It's like it should be a friendly banker. It tries to be, I think, but the clients in Africa who don't have a long history of dealing with bankers seriously have seen it otherwise, and they don't see the IMF as a potentially positive force for the future. I think the IMF is a necessary evil at worst, and a fount of good advice and sometimes money at best. And Africa's problem is that it has seen itself as being at the mercy of the international institutions and have not used them as a tool for their own purposes. Other countries in the world, Indonesia, I think the most eloquent example, have used the international institutions very constructively, taken advice when they needed it, and sometimes said no to the money.
Now, if you were back in the World Bank, what would you do differently than they're doing at the moment?
Well, you know, some friends at the World Bank who've read my book feel that my suggestions aren't very different from what's already part of the so-called aid dialogue. And my answer has been, well, I suppose the difference is, you know, you're still dialoguing. I think we should be doing these things.
And one final question. Your book's out in bookshops in the UK in July. Why should people read it?
Well, I think I hope it's engaging because it's half memoir and half pamphlet or even polemic in the best sense of the word, suggesting better ways of helping Africa. I think it's many people who've worked on Africa for 30 years, as I have given up or become rather cynical. I've tried to introduce some lightheartedness as well as some constructive suggestions into the book, knowing that the subject generally tends to be depressing. And I think the book ends on a high note, which is a belief in the talent and future of Africans. If Africans themselves in the West can find a way of helping the right people there rather than the wrong ones.
Robert Calderisi, thank you very much.